Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for January the 28th, 2019. This is David Corey, along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hey, good evening, David. Good evening, everybody. Tonight we have another fast hour of information and news of interest concerning our veterans. Before I do that, it is my pleasure to acknowledge two sponsors of our show, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli, whose financial contribution helps us provide this weekly show for the benefit of veterans and their families across the country. I wish to remind everybody, if anyone would like to be a sponsor of our show, you can contact us, and we'd be happy to give you the information as to how to be a supporter of our show, and we'd really appreciate it. Our show does help send messages out to our veterans and their families, and so it's a worthwhile endeavor. This is a call-in show that welcomes everyone. We welcome your views, your comments, your questions. And any time during the show, if you should have a question or a comment, you can call us at 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. So please, if there's something of interest that you want to talk about tonight, or something that during the course of our show spikes in interest, please give us a call. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. Tonight we have five segments. First, we have a story courtesy of the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs on a group of veterans who formed an organization which provides emergency humanitarian response services around the world to help people faced with natural disasters and other crises. The organization is called Team Rubicon. It's a remarkable story of how some military veterans decided to put their skills to a different kind of public service after leaving the military, and how their work has also enabled them to cope with the sometimes difficult transition from military to civilian life. In our second segment, we have a story from the VA about how three different community organizations have partnered with the VA to help homeless veterans get off the streets into housing and find employment. In our third segment, we have information on VA benefits for members of the National Guard and the Reserves. It's important because, as we know, the military has relied so much since 2001 on the National Guard and Reserves in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other nations as well. In our fourth agreement, segment, we will hear from a veteran and how he got help from the VA in dealing with his PTSD, post-traumatic stress. In our final segment, we will have more VA news from Washington. Again, this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, comments, and questions, so you can call us at any time during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. Back to you, David, and why don't you introduce us to our first segment.
Thanks, Richard. Our first story tonight is about a group called Team Rubicon. Team Rubicon is an international, non-governmental organization founded by U.S. Marines William McNulty and Jake Wood. Team Rubicon is a veteran service organization that uses disaster response to help people in need both in the United States and abroad, while simultaneously helping to reintegrate military veterans back into civilian life. Team Rubicon formed in January 2010 following the Haiti earthquake, when William McNulty and Jake Wood led a medical team into Port-au-Prince 3 days after the earthquake. The first Team Rubicon was an initial team of eight people. They gathered funds and medical supplies from friends and family and flew into the Dominican Republic. They rented a truck, loaded their gear, and headed west to Haiti. The team treated thousands of patients, traveling to camps deemed too dangerous by other aid organizations. They ventured outside the traditional scale of disaster response, focusing on those who would be overlooked and untreated. The experience was the beginning of Team Rubicon. Team Rubicon wanted to solve two problems. First, inadequate disaster response, which is often too slow to respond, has an antiquated infrastructure, and is not using the best technological solutions or well-trained members. And two, inadequate veteran reintegration into civilian life, where military veterans whose training, skills, and experience makes them very effective in disaster response can reduce suicide within their community and address reintegration issues by helping others and an opportunity to provide services to others. In other words, it gives them a mission. The tragic death of fellow Rubicon member and veteran Clay Hunt due to suicide in 2011 refocused Team Rubicon's organizational mission on to help veterans make the most and often difficult transition from military to civilian life. The team's role in domestic disasters is both to provide humanitarian assistance and, as I said, as an outlet to let veterans continue to serve others. Since the Haiti earthquake, Team Rubicon has deployed on over 175 operations, including international operations in Pakistan, Chile, Burma, Sudan, Ecuador, Nepal, Greece, and Turkey. Within the United States, Team Rubicon has responded to disasters such as Hurricane Matthew, Hurricane Irene, Tropical Storm Debbie, Hurricane Isaac, Hurricane Sandy, and the tornado destruction of the city of Moore, Oklahoma. So, our first story tonight will highlight Team Rubicon. Doug, if you'll please roll that first tape.
We begin our show with a story of a remarkable group of Marine Corps veterans who teamed up with doctors to provide disaster relief for the victims of the 2010 earthquake in Haiti. That small group has grown to become Team Rubicon, a veteran service organization that stands ready to deploy emergency response teams all around the world.
We rolled into Port-au-Prince in the back of pickup trucks. As we got closer and closer to the city and then to the city center, the masses of people that were trying to move away from Port-au-Prince to go find something that was less chaotic just increased, and we were going in the opposite direction. We were going into the heart of it. It just incrementally got worse and worse. You know, you started to see on the outskirts of the city some of the destruction. Then you got closer and you saw entire buildings collapsed, and then you started to smell. You know, you could smell the bodies bloating in the sun and the heat. You could smell diesel fuel spilled across the street, burning tires, everything like that. And you know, to be quite honest, it was the same sights and smells that we had heard going through Fallujah or going through Baghdad or Afghanistan. My name is Jake Wood. I'm president and co-founder of Team Rubicon. One morning I woke up and I saw on the news what was going on in Port-au-Prince. And for a couple hours, I just sat there and watched the television screen because the images that were coming back were so horrific and mind-blowing. And you know, after a little while of doing that, I decided that it was an opportunity to go down there and help. I put out a Facebook post and asked who wanted to join me to go down to Port-au-Prince. And literally a few minutes later, William McNulty gave me a call and said that he wanted to go. And you know, Team Rubicon was really born right then and there.
We put together a team of military veterans and medical professionals. We basically paired Marines with doctors, and we sent them into the hardest hit areas of Port-au-Prince and did medical triage.
You know, for a veteran like William or I, you know, we have a lot more to offer than $10. And we had skill sets that a lot of the volunteers at the Red Cross, a lot of the volunteers at the International Medical Corps didn't have. And we thought that our greatest asset, our greatest resource that we could provide was, you know, ourselves.
We're this flexible and dynamic, rapidly expanding, veteran-focused organization that pretty much have taken the helm on responding to disasters and using our former service members as our core of volunteers that we can call upon. And that's kind of where we're at now, 2.5 years into the organization.
Team Rubicon is different than other aid organizations because it's focused on the veteran. It's focused on giving that self-worth and that purpose and that community back to the veteran. So we're incorporating a lot of the same things that we learned, tactics, procedures that we learned in the military, but we're applying it to disaster response now.
We've been to Haiti, Burma, Pakistan, Chile. We recently have started responding to domestic disasters. Most notably were the tornadoes in the Midwest and a hurricane on the East Coast. Our deployments have been into pretty bad disasters. The sights, the smells, the devastation, the looks in people's eyes, knowing that they've potentially lost everything or they have lost everything. The ability to approach a situation with a bit of tenderness, even though you're there for a very specific mission. There's a lot of similarities that make us the best people to send into an area like that.
I can't thank you all enough.
No, you're
I
very just well.
There is no words to say.
But, you know, you hear so much bad on television, but through this, we've seen so much good.
I met Clay Hunt for the first time in 2006.
We were in the same platoon in Iraq. Clay's a Purple Heart winner. I was shot in Iraq. So we went to sniper school together. We were partners all through sniper school, and we deployed together to Afghanistan as snipers.
Wow.
We've been through a lot.
Clay Hunt was a friend who I had not met until the Haiti earthquake. Clay didn't go down with the first team into Port-au-Prince, but he saw us on the news, actually. He woke up in the middle of the night, purchased a plane ticket to the Dominican Republic, and found us at the largest hospital, the General Hospital in Port-au-Prince.
I've been in two third world countries where every second that I've walked through, I've been having to worry about my own safety before I could worry about doing good and helping others. It was a complete opposite down in Haiti. I didn't have to worry once about my safety. I was there to do a job, to help people, and I have a renewed faith in humanity.
Clay found disaster relief very therapeutic. This is what he told me. You know, Clay said that he wanted to do this type of work for the rest of his life.
I'm here to help. I'll be here till he goes home. But he was my best man at my wedding. Been my best friend for the last few years. Got to be here. I don't think there's a better place I could be right now. So,
you know, one of the things that Clay struggled with mightily was some of the mental and emotional problems that a lot of veterans are coming home from war with. And, you know, he had a lot of difficulty dealing with his experiences and dealing with the guilt that he had and that he associated with having survived the war when so many of our friends lost their lives over there. We tried to get him help on a number of occasions. He was going into the VA for counseling, and eventually we had him move back to Houston, Texas to be with his family. Shortly after moving back to Houston, things just kind of hit rock bottom for him, even though they appeared to be all right. And he ended up taking his own life on March 30th. Of 2011. So after the dust settled from Clay's suicide, we really took some time to reevaluate what it was we were doing at Team Rubicon. You know, when we started out, we saw ourselves as an organization that was looking to transform disaster response by using veterans. And, you know, we saw an opportunity to provide, you know, the volunteers that were working with us some of the things that we knew Clay was missing. And, you know, Clay, he didn't kill himself because of what happened to us over in Iraq and Afghanistan. He killed himself because of what he lost when he came home. And, you know, he was missing a mission in his life. He was missing community. And, you know, he really didn't feel like he had any self-worth anymore.
When Clay took his own life, it caused us to take a really hard look at the organization, and it caused us to change the focus to the veteran rather than the disaster victim. And that might sound trivial, but it's actually very important. We're recreating that self-worth, that mission, that purpose, that community, to try and help those people who are suffering from the same symptoms that Clay was, adjust, reintegrate into society.
My name's Kevin Heslin, and I'm a research health scientist with the VA Emergency Management Evaluation Center. My colleagues and I are interested in eventually doing a large-scale, sort of long-term study with Team Rubicon so that we can really try to track the mental health benefits of volunteer work on veterans.
The VA approached us about a study they wanted to do regarding the efficacy of a program such as ours for actual therapeutic, measurable results. Could our program, could our volunteer organization that is repurposing veteran skills in disaster relief actually measurably have an answer?
The VA has a huge focus on reintegration into civilian society, and how can we help veterans to do that better? So the idea that this kind of emergency management volunteer work would contribute to that is very exciting.
We have veterans unsolicited email us all the time with thanks and praise for the opportunity to work with us and what it has meant to them. But at the end of the day, that's not real quantitative evidence. That's not scientific. That's not anything that we can say, here, you see, we're right. You know, this is helping veterans. And so with the VA, we're really hoping that we can conduct a formal study that that proves that the idea of continued service is something that is beneficial to the veteran and to their transition and to their reintegration into civil society.
Over the last 10 years, it's been very hard for veterans to identify progress. But when you're either saving the life of a child in Port-au-Prince after the earthquake, or whether you're tarping someone's roof in Joplin after a tornado, progress is immediately identifiable, and that's of extreme value to the veteran.
The difference between going on a mission with Team Rubicon versus the experiences that volunteer might have had in uniform, you know, you're going into a similar environment, but the entire feeling is different. You're not going in there fearing for your life. You're not going in there with a mission that you may be uncomfortable with. You're going there to help people. And I think for the veterans who get involved, that's incredibly therapeutic to know that you're needed and you're wanted, and your only mission in life is to go improve the lives of people whose lives have been devastated. It's really cathartic for the veteran.
There is the hope when you fill out our application that one day you will receive a phone call from me saying, we need you to fly to Africa for this mission. Are you available? And I think that is a very powerful feeling of hope for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people who've lost their mission, I think that's that sense of purpose, that sense of reusing their experience is important and it's powerful, and that's what we do.
If you would like to get more information or sign up, just visit TeamRubiconUSA.org.
I'd like to thank U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs for making that series of interviews available for public use, and that's why we wanted to help publicize it. Again, as was mentioned, any of you who are interested in learning more about Team Rubicon or perhaps looking to join it in its work, its website is TeamRubiconUSA.org. That's Team, RubiconUSA.org. TeamRubiconUSA.org. Richard, any thoughts on Team Rubicon and its work?
Yeah, I think what they're doing is obviously outstanding work, and so many people are benefiting from their work and their expertise. But, you know, as I was listening to the benefits by the members of the Team Rubicon, so similar to the 12-step program service to others. As you know, the 12-step program is for helping people recover from alcohol, drugs, and other anxiety, depression issues. And one of the key components of that is service to others. By doing that, you basically start to heal yourself. And as I was listening to some of those interviews, that's exactly what was happening. I think one of them said it was giving them a sense of worth again. So that's really great stuff. And I look forward to hearing more about Team Rubicon. And like David said, anyone interested in getting involved with Team Rubicon, for whether it's to help other people or maybe for you to help yourself. Maybe you need something to kind of dive into and get out of self yourself and join an organization that's out there giving for other people. And you can do that by going to their website, which is TeamRubiconUSA.org, and TeamRubiconUSA.org. Back to you, David.
Thanks, Richard. Our next segment tonight is about the issue of veteran homelessness. The VA and private organizations continue to work hard to address that problem. This next story highlights three community groups which partner with the VA to help homeless veterans. The three groups include an organization called Veterans Matter, based in Toledo, Ohio, another group called Military Outreach USA, based in Northbrook, Illinois, and a third organization called Salute, with offices in Clinton Township, Michigan, Chicago, Illinois, and Charlotte, North Carolina. So, Doug, if you'll please roll the second tape.
For any organization that's focused on helping homeless veterans, only by coming together in partnership with the VA and all of the other community collaborators can we really solve this problem nationwide. What Veterans Matter has become is this incredible collaboration of the VA and businesses and foundations and regular Americans who have become guardian angels to homeless veterans on the streets. And our job is simply to eliminate any barriers they might have.
We know that veterans are homeless longer than their non-veteran counterparts, and they're homeless at higher rates than their non-veteran counterparts. And many times our veterans are not going to present in a shelter. So we go out into the woods along bridges and overpasses and highways and find those veterans who are camping outside. Before Veterans Matter was started, Ken, Leslie, and I were out doing outreach one day, and he asked me, what's one thing that veterans need to quickly exit the streets and go into permanent housing? And I said, you know, the deposits are taking us a long time. They're holding the process up. Plus, we have to take the veteran to various agencies to ask them for money for the deposit for their apartment.
And I said, so you're telling me you got this housing, and then after they get housed, you're able to provide the services and case management, but they can't get there because of the deposit? He says, yeah, and that broke my heart. And that night came up with this idea, Veterans Matter, we take care of our own, write the check straight to the landlord, 100% success rate. I called the foundation, said, I need $26,250, and by the way, I need it black ops speed because there's 35 veterans waiting. So it was 11 days from idea to execution. And now we've grown, and we've housed almost 1,450 veterans.
I was living in my car for about 2 months, and then I met Sean and then Ken, and then he got me a hotel for the week. And then after that week, I had this place. This place is awesome. Like, it's very quiet and chill, and it feels great. It feels good to do laundry and take a shower. The basics again, you know, feels real good.
Also, Veterans Matter has been a great partner in helping with volunteers who help us go out and do street-level outreach blitzes in different counties within our catchment area. Their volunteers also come and visit our veterans for socialization and assistance with any type of personal goals that they might have, like taking them out and getting a haircut or their beard trimmed, going grocery shopping, purchasing clothes for veterans who are getting a job. So that's pretty neat.
Just like Veterans Matter found a way to help our veterans, that's what every community needs to do, is find that hole, find what's missing, and fill that. Don't come up with a program where you just think it's a great idea. Find out first what the veterans really need, and then fill that need, and you'll have a perfect formula to be able to serve the people that we're trying to serve.
Military Outreach USA is a 501c3 not-for-profit, and we work through a network of houses of worship, businesses, organizations, schools, and caring individuals to help serve veterans, active duty military personnel, National Guard, reserves, and their families. It's all wrapped under the umbrella name of Adopt a VA.
Once we help a veteran to find a safe living situation, we know that an apartment isn't a home until they've got some items to make it comfortable. So Military Outreach really identified that as a need and do a lot of coordination of furniture donations, mattresses, box springs, move-in essential items like small appliances and shower curtains and towels and cleaning products and hygiene products. They really are crucial in helping a veteran get set up in their apartment.
To be able to do something, whether it's just picking up some donated items and dropping them off at the VA or helping someone furnish their apartment with donated furniture that has been picked up and supplying them a bed, and then to meet them and to see how it's changed their life, I mean, that's what it's all about.
Well, I feel like I'm a king because I go to my apartment, I make whatever noise I want, I don't have to listen to anybody complain. Okay, what I want to eat, it's all mine. It's great. It's great knowing I have a roof over my head at all times.
Having your own place and being on your own again, it makes you feel, you know, worthwhile, like I used to feel, you know?
Let's see what we have in here. For any future partnerships, just being willing to hear out what our needs are in terms of helping veterans with move-in essentials and furniture items and things like that, and maybe being willing to hear out what our barriers are and how to help us overcome them. but partnerships are extremely valuable, and I think we've experienced that through our partnership with Military Outreach. Absolutely.
I often say that it's not that people don't want to help veterans, they don't know how to help. And what we accomplish in the Adopt a VA program is we bring awareness to those people that want to help. The VA cannot fill all the needs of services that veterans need. And if we don't do it, who else will?
I've been in the data center industry for over 30 years, and I had a career at the same time as an Army reservist for 36 years. So I saw problems from both sides. The data center industry is suffering a severe personnel shortage, and veteran unemployment rates were unacceptably high when we started this 4 years ago. So we took those two problems and focused on them, came up with Salute Mission Critical, and have put more than 500 veterans into the industry as they graduate from our program and take on full-time careers with data center companies.
There's a variety of positions as to what it takes to operate a facility, everything from the facility side to the IT side. And what we've been able to do is take veterans and get them entry-level positions, training both on the IT and the facility side to give them a competitive advantage as to where the industry is transitioning in the next 5 years. Our techs will have a leg up on other folks out there.
A lot of companies say that they're veteran-friendly without knowing exactly what that means. And Salute exemplifies a veteran-friendly company. They're willing to make accommodations and to create onboarding programs that are designed specifically for our homeless veterans. So it increases their chances of success and also sustainability in terms of employment and housing.
Our partnership with the VA Homeless Program has been phenomenal. Working with Beatrice, we've been able to fill roles for our clients with many individuals who blossom. None of these individuals want to be homeless. It's something that they find themselves being. And so for them to take that strength and that courage that they have utilized in their past serving our country, and now they're utilizing it for themselves to make themselves successful. They're the ones who are pushing forward and are working hard and are taking in all of this information that's being thrown at them and learning it and then putting it into use on a daily basis.
Me maintaining this job makes me feel a whole lot better, because it's a big step from, you know, you go up and you drop down low and you have nothing, and now you're bouncing back. It feels real good.
To be able to see someone just want a chance to work and have an organization offer them that opportunity, and to see them succeed, to see their confidence build, to see that they're able to secure income and then secure housing and live a full life, is extremely rewarding.
We have this incredible partnership with the VA where, in all truth, they're the ones who do the heavy lifting and do all the work. VA is incredible in how it is looking for solutions to problems, engaging community partners to be able to help the veterans get housed, organizations that are providing the beds and the furniture needed for it to help stabilize them, and then different programs that help reemploy people. And the VA has gone out and invited these partners to come in. As regular Americans, we're able to rally with the VA to help people that risked all for all of us.
Thanks for the VA for making that series of interviews available. You can find out more about those three groups via their websites. The first group, called Veterans Matter, based in Toledo, Ohio, their website is easy to remember. It's veteransmatter.org. That's veteransmatter.org. The second organization, called Military Outreach USA, based in Northbrook, Illinois, its website is MilitaryOutreachUSA.org. That's MilitaryOutreachUSA.org. And the third organization, called Salute, with offices in Michigan, Illinois, and Charlotte, North Carolina, its website is SaluteInc.com, which is Salute, SalutInc.com. SaluteInc.com. Over to you, Richard.
Thanks, David. A couple things. If anyone has been listening to tonight, and you do know of a homeless veteran, more than likely a homeless veteran won't be listening to our show tonight. So if you're listening to our show and you know of some homeless veterans, please make them aware of some of these organizations that might be able to help them. I know where I live, for instance, just right down about 5 miles from me, not even, there's what we call the Withlacoochee Trail, and there's usually 50 to 75 veterans sleeping on that trail every night. And so there's plenty of veterans that are homeless, and we need to help them. So these programs that you just heard about on this last segment might be able to help some of these veterans get off the streets and live a more humane life. I also want to remind veterans that if you have a case that's pending, a claim that's pending, and you are homeless, you know, make your representative aware of it and have your representative make the VA aware of it, because they will expedite your case. And this may also help you get a settlement of your claim a lot faster, knowing that you're homeless or about to be homeless, which in that event may prevent you from becoming homeless, or if you are homeless, then maybe it'll get you back into a nice shelter. So just some things to think about. Again, thanks, David, for that segment. Our third segment tonight is of particular interest to veterans who served in the National Guard or the Reserves. It provides an overview of the VA benefits available to them due to their service. Doug, please roll tape number 3, VA.
As a National Guard or Reserve member, your VA, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, honors your service and is ready to serve you.
I wouldn't be here today as a successful woman without the help that I received from the Reserve and paid for my education and the compensation that VA gave me.
VA benefits can provide support in areas such as disability compensation, insurance, loan guarantee, pension, health care, education, dependents and survivors, burial, and vocational rehabilitation and employment. And this support often transcends generations.
What's important about VA benefits is they don't just touch you as an individual. They can touch your parents, maybe your grandparents, your child.
Serving in a reserve component of our armed forces has a unique status with different levels of service obligations. Your eligibility for some VA benefits requires a certain amount of time of active service. Active service can be active duty in the form of an overseas deployment as part of a unit mobilization or full-time National Guard duty. Even if you're a traditional reservist or technician, where you're reporting for training once a month and 2 weeks a year, you may be eligible for some VA benefits, such as home loan guarantee and education, based on your length of service. At benefits.va.gov/guard-reserve, you can learn about and apply for your VA benefits. Some of the benefit programs relate to having a service-connected disability, whether that disability occurred during a training period or during active duty.
If your disabilities continue to worsen, they will work with you, so it's always there. It's a benefit that I can always have access to because of my disability.
Zarina Prichet Cole served in the Army and then spent nearly 6 years as a traditional reservist. During her time on active duty, she experienced a crush injury, a condition that got worse after her separation from the reserves. With her ability to type or write severely limited, she turned for help to VA's Vocational Rehabilitation and Employment, or VOC Rehab program, which provides career preparation and independent living services to veterans with a service-connected disability.
My injury was beginning to bother me at work. It was affecting my productivity at work, and I was concerned about losing my job. So I applied for VOC Rehab, and what they did, they took me through a series of rehabilitation testing and worksite evaluation, and then they were able to ascertain what I needed on the job that would help me to be more proficient.
Through her VR&E benefit, Zarina was trained to use voice recognition software, a tool that's really helped her at the office. She also receives VA disability compensation for her service-connected injury. This monthly benefit amount varies depending on the severity of the disability, as well as when spouses or dependent children are factored in. For Zarina, that extra support has made a big difference.
There was a time where things were a little tight, and having that benefit from the VA really helped me get over that hump. And so I'm just very happy that the benefits really helped my family.
While many benefit programs meet needs associated with service-connected disabilities, there are many benefits available to National Guard members and reservists like education and home loan guarantee, with much broader eligibility.
I had no way of paying for college, no way of paying for school, and the military gave me that way, you know, and it continues to.
Derek Smith's nearly quarter century of service in the armed forces includes 7 years in the Army National Guard. With a call-up in 2003, Derek became eligible for post-9/11 GI Bill benefits.
I just finished a master's degree recently, and now I'm working on another degree as well. So the military made that all possible. My veterans benefits made that all possible.
With a VA-guaranteed home loan, he's achieved other big goals as well.
My wife and I were able to pick the home that we wanted. It was basically our dream home. We were able to pay a small amount down, and we were able to get into the house, and we're still in it today.
Like Derek, many National Guard or Reserve members are eligible for multiple benefits. To keep track of what he receives, Derek uses eBenefits, the VA and DOD's online benefits portal, where you can review educational benefit amounts, calculate home loan eligibility, and apply for other VA benefits.
eBenefits has been wonderful to me. I don't have to pick up the phone and call anybody, even though they're available as well, but I've been able to answer most of my own questions just by checking online.
While many benefits can be secured today, others, like VA insurance benefits, are available to provide security both during and after your service in the National Guard or Reserves ends.
The very first benefit you're entitled to when you join the military is service members' group life insurance.
Mike Carr serves in the West Virginia Air National Guard. As a traditional Guard member, he was automatically enrolled in service members' group life insurance, or SIGLI.
It's kind of like out of sight, out of mind, but you know you have a peace of mind with insurance benefits. So it's really one of those, it's kind of like an unsung hero of all VA benefits, I think.
All Guard members and reservists are covered under SIGLI. But when you're separating or retiring, converting SIGLI coverage must be done within certain time limits.
If you're thinking about getting out of the Guard, you convert over to either Veterans Group Life Insurance or a commercial policy, because again, you can do so without proof of good health.
Veterans Group Life Insurance, or VIGLI, provides lifetime renewable term coverage regardless of health. And if you have a service-connected disability, service-disabled veterans insurance can provide coverage at affordable premiums. For Mike, VA insurance is part of a package of benefits that have made a big impact in his life.
I've been tremendously satisfied with the VA benefits that I've received. They were able to help me get a college education, enjoy the privileges of home ownership, so it's been very beneficial to me.
Even if you separated years ago from the National Guard or Reserves, your eligibility for benefits may still remain.
I lost 6 years of compensation because I thought I wasn't entitled to benefits because 6 years had elapsed. No matter what the time is, apply for your benefits. You earn them. VA is ready to help you. Just apply and let them make that decision.
You've served your country, and VA is ready to serve you with benefits including disability compensation, insurance, loan guarantee, pension, health care, education, dependents and survivors, burial, and vocational rehabilitation and employment. Achieve your next mission. Learn about and apply for your VA benefits today.
Well, it certainly shows the tremendous investment that the U.S. government and the U.S. American people make in the military. I guess you could look at it from different perspectives, but there are a lot of resources out there, and we wanted to make sure that members of the National Guard and Reserve are aware of those, since within the military community, I think that they are often treated as kind of second-class service members for many reasons. Our next story is one to inspire veterans to reach out for help when they are struggling with the psychological wounds of war. We will now hear from a veteran of the war in Afghanistan and how he got help from the VA to deal with his post-traumatic stress and alcohol problem. So, Doug, if you'll roll the fourth tape.
My name is Patrick, and I was in the Army. I'm retired. I served almost 28 years. I moved up from combat medic to nurse, and I learned to be a surgeon. In 2006, I ended up in Afghanistan. We were rocketed a lot. I got attacked like every night. Messes with your head to be bombed and shelled every night. You don't get a lot of sleep. But then for the final 6 months, I was with the Special Forces team. The things that I saw there, the the casualties and the deaths. Sometimes you're treating the enemy. I mean, we had Taliban blindfolded and handcuffed, but we treated their wounds just like we treated the guy who's right next to him, the special forces guy who we tried to kill. So that's kind of tough. You know, that messes with you. Like, should I give this guy the same care? And so I have that, as well as just the blood and the gore of everything. Sticking your hands in people, you know, trying to save their lives and hold them together and whatnot. But it doesn't affect you right then and there. You know, you're doing what you need to do. You're trained. You're making the mission happen. You're saving lives. It didn't really hit me until, like, after the deployment when I came home. If I hear the news and I hear of another soldier being killed, I sat in the dark and I drank. And your brain has nothing else to do but remember it. And I was mad. I was angry. I was mad at the government, mad at the army, mad at the world, yelling and crying. And then I got the phone call. I'm from the Department of the Army. I'm calling about your son. Fortunately, he was okay. You know, he was shot in the leg. But it's still, obviously, you can see how it affects me. And yeah, I just realized that I couldn't do it on my own. As medical professional, you know, older guy, you know, I was in my 40s. It's not like I was going to fix it. I couldn't. I need help. I went to the VA and I did some group therapy. It's funny because I sat in the groups and I'm like, wow, you guys had it so much harder in Vietnam. And they're like, no, you guys had it so much harder now. And I'm like, well, I guess it's all your perspective. So, yeah, it's good to have that support. People who have been through it, everybody has their own experiences and their reactions. And so it's good that the group was able to talk about different aspects of the trauma that they experience and how they cope with it. It was good. It was worth it. I wish I would have done it sooner. Why did I sit there in the dark, drinking, being angry, when there was somebody there that could have helped me? I'm so much better now. You know, I'm like a different person. I mean, my concentration is better. My temper is better. I don't have as many, again, flashbacks, if you will, nightmares. My life has just gotten so much more livable. I'm so much happier than I was in that place, night and day. Go to the VA, talk to the mental health professionals, because they definitely will help you. You don't have to isolate yourself, because there are other people who are happy to help. You've earned it, you served, so go and get your care. Make new friends and find a new life.
I'd like to thank the VA for providing those four tapes tonight. The last one was part of the Make the Connection series that the VA offers with words from veterans who share their own experiences, particularly in dealing with things like post-traumatic stress, alcohol abuse, and other problems. So we're down to our last segment of the night. We've got about 10 minutes left, so we've got some quick news that I'll summarize for you, and then I'll turn it over to Richard Hurley, who'll talk about the VA's coaching into care program. In other news of interest to veterans and their families, registration opened earlier this month for the 2019 National Veterans Wheelchair Games, and registration will continue through April the 15th. The event will be held July 11th through the 16th in Louisville, Kentucky. The VA announced that veterans who are interested in registering for the 2019 National Veterans Wheelchair Games can do so online through April 15th, and the website is wheelchairgames.org. The website, again, is wheelchairgames.org. This program is presented by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs and Paralyzed Veterans of America. It's the world's largest sport event for veterans who use wheelchairs. Again, it will be held July 11th through the 16th at the VA Medical Center in Louisville, Kentucky. The event is a sports and rehabilitation competition to engage veterans who use wheelchairs due to spinal cord injuries, amputations, or other neurological conditions. The VA Secretary Robert Wilkie said in a recent press release, quote, "I encourage every veteran interested in competing at the National Veterans Wheelchair Games to register for this important event." He said, quote, "The games exemplify VA's commitment to supporting veterans as they navigate through recovery and rehabilitation to active, independent lives. Sports and recreation play an important role in this journey, enhancing veterans' positive mental health and physical well-being," unquote. Every year, veterans challenge themselves and they cheer on their other fellow veterans in the various games. This year, David Zerfla, the national president of the Paralyzed Veterans of America organization, and himself a service-disabled Air Force veteran, plans to compete alongside hundreds of other veterans. There are 19 different competitive events at this competition, including air guns, archery, basketball, bowling, field events, hand cycling, power soccer, quad rugby, softball, swimming, and many more events. Athletes compete against others with similar athletic abilities, competitive experience, and age. So if you're interested, again, the website is wheelchairgames.org. And then real quickly before I turn it over to Richard Hurley, in related news, last Tuesday, January the 22nd, the VA announced that the National Disabled Veterans Winter Sports Clinic will take place March 31st through April the 15th, 2019, in Snowmass, Colorado. The clinic's website is wintersportsclinic.org. It's an annual clinic hosted by the Department of Veteran Affairs and Disabled American Veterans. And it's basically an event in adaptive winter sports instructions for injured veterans. And it promotes sports therapy and rehabilitation through adaptive alpine and Nordic skiing, rock climbing, sled hockey, scuba diving, and other adaptive sports and activities. So it sounds like a great opportunity. If you're interested and you're interested in being in Colorado between March 31st and April 15th of this year, check it out. The clinic's website is wintersportsclinic.org. Over to you, Richard.
Thanks, David. And before we close the show tonight, I would like to remind our veterans and their families about the important VA program called Coaching Into Care. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching Into Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call, toll-free at 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the VA's Coaching Into Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I'd like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, you heard tonight about veterans who are homeless. That certainly is a crisis. The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line to help. You can call that number at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. And as I mentioned about crisis, a homeless veteran situation is a crisis, especially during the winter months when they're out there and they're freezing and they have no place to go. So this could be a very, very helpful to them. That number again is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Back to you, David.
Thanks, Richard. It's been another quick hour. One thing I'd like to highlight, because one of the topics we discussed this evening was the issue of veteran homelessness. And over the course of the last couple of years since we've been on BBS radio, we've had a number of guests on our show that talked about particular projects that they were involved in various states, including the state of Florida, including Missouri, New Jersey, various states around the country that had their own programs. And as one of the guests tonight mentioned in one of the segments, the VA does not have enough resources to meet the needs. And that's why there are so many community organizations, such as the ones highlighted this evening, which which help to tackle that problem of veteran homelessness, and with a tremendous amount of success, and a lot of networking and involvement with other organizations as well. So we applaud their efforts, and we also encourage you, if you're interested in learning more about those, is to go to our show website, which is bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour, and you'll find archived podcasts of all of our prior shows. And if you scroll down that list, you'll see various organizations many of which help veterans on the homeless issue. So check those out, listen to those guests, and maybe you'll get some good ideas, or maybe you can help those organizations in what they're doing. I know one of the guests, couple guests we had on the last couple years, they were involved with Camp Hope in Houston, Texas. I know, Richard, that was an organization of particular interest to you because you had the opportunity when you were in Houston to actually tour that, right?
Absolutely. Yep, I went out there. It's a tremendous facility. It's about 5 to 10 acres of land. It offers a 12-step program for PTSD. It is a spiritual-based program for veterans. Currently, the Camp Hope is all male. I know they're trying to one day open it up to females as well, but it serves a lot of purposes, and one of the things it also does is if the veteran unfortunately is facing incarceration, oftentimes Camp Hope can act as a alternative to incarceration. So in lieu of doing any county jail time or even state time, a lot of judges around the country have looked to Camp Hope to take these veterans in. They go through programs. They might be there for 9 months. I know one veteran was there for 14 months. So there's a lot of benefits to these types of programs around the country, and Camp Hope in Houston's one of them.
Yep. And there's others that we've had guests on, like Volunteers of America of Florida. We had on our show last year, and they have an extensive program to help get homeless veterans off the streets or out of the woods or out from under bridges, wherever they are, into shelters. And then not stopping there, help kind of triage whatever their issues are, get them help for those issues, and get them services and help them get to the point where they're back on their feet, so to speak. So,
you know, David, it's really I'm thinking about this. It really is distressing when you are in the city and you see these veterans who are homeless, and some of them are in wheelchairs. Quadriplegic, missing limbs, and they're just, you know, on the side of the roads, they're on the sidewalks, and it's very unfortunate that exists in our country, and so we all need to kind of band together and try to help these veterans to get them off the sidewalk, get them off the streets, and get them into these programs and help them out.
And I would add the homeless problem certainly goes far, far beyond that of just military veterans. I mean, the homeless problem in the United States, in some states, is particularly awful and sorry state of affairs, and it's a reflection of a lot of issues. But hopefully, the ideas that people can gain from the way the veteran homelessness has been successfully tackled in many areas can be used and applied to the broader homeless issue. Well, we're about out of time for this evening. We'll have to go for tonight. We'd like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli and Corey and Hurley Law Group. And as Richard said at the beginning of our show, if any of you are interested in sponsoring or advertising on our show, we certainly invite you to do that. Give us an opportunity to expand our efforts to reach more people around the country through this show and in other programs. I'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom, for all his hard work and expertise. And we'd ask all of you to please tune in next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Till then, we hope you have a great week. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on BBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.